Hello and welcome to another episode of the Profits and Prana podcast. My name is Esme. I'm a yoga teacher, web designer, business coach, digital strategist. Yes, I have a lot of interests and a lot of different experiences. And today's guest also has a very interesting life story, a lot of different experiences and a lot of interests that he brings forth in his work. My guest today is Clay Green. He is a high performance coach who has a really amazing story. I cannot wait for you to hear it. He hit a deer on a motorcycle, which is just mind-blowing to me that he even survived. And he also has a background in the Navy. He was a submariner, and now he works with people to help them reach their highest possible levels of performance. He's all about helping people get to the next level, be more aware, be more open with themselves so that they can reach their goals, so that they can take their business to new heights. I'm really, really excited to bring this interview to you. I encourage you to get a pen, get a piece of paper, take some notes, and make sure you tune in fully present, because in today's chat, we go deep and I get vulnerable, and it's a really, really powerful discussion. So let's get right to the conversation. Thank you so much for joining me today, Clay.
You're welcome. I'm so excited to be here, Esme.
So I want to talk to you about a lot of different things today, but first, I would like it if you could tell us a little bit more about your story in your own words. So how did you get to where you are, and how has that shaped the work that you do today?
Awesome. Yes. I love telling this part because when I make recommendations, I feel like the recommendations that I'm making have a lot more validity if you know where I'm coming from. So that's in my mind, I'm an adult trainer. I've been a trainer for over 25 years. And if you don't know that, if you're listening to this and you don't know why people always start with their story, that's why. It actually is in our nature, in our brain, to resist what we're being told, to stay where we're at, to not take new stuff in. So you actually have to convince your subconscious that, hey, this person does or doesn't know what he's talking about, or does, in order to take it in. So it's like you have to naturally overcome that. So I love how people start with this question first. It's great. My background, I graduated from Alabama High School, general education. And the reason that's relevant is because if you've seen Forrest Gump, it's kind of real. It's a little more advanced. That was like back in the 60s or whatever, but this is, you know, it's Alabama High School. But then I took a step and I went into the U.S. Navy and I became a nuclear reactor operator.
Interesting. Yeah. That is not where I was expecting this to go.
Well, it's, you know, that's, yeah. When we connect everything, when it comes full circle, that's what I'm saying. It makes it poignant. It makes it real. So not only did I become a nuclear reactor operator. Now, becoming a nuclear reactor operator, we're talking literally subatomic physics. We're talking complex control systems. We're talking about electronics, mechanical stuff. You got to know all this stuff and you got to learn it. And that system taught me that effectively. Over half the people that enter that system don't make it through that particular certification process. I made it through. Not only did I make it through, I did so well that I didn't do that well. So I wasn't like the top guy or anything like that, but they select less than 1% of the people that make it through there to become what they call staff pickup instructors. So instead of going straight to the ocean, instead of going straight to my submarine, I get to stay there and instruct or teach for another couple years. So that was exciting. That was awesome. That was my first taste of actual professional training. since then, I've gotten out of the, so I professionally trained this is the part that blows me away. Looking like in the moment, you know, you can never connect the dots looking forward, right, Yasmin? So looking back, the part that blows me away is I was literally teaching these kids to sit there and operate a nuclear reactor. Something as complex as that, with all the buttons, switches, gauges, dial, all this stuff that you got to know and understand. I was teaching them to stay there, stay focused, stay calm, and operate that system with a fire burning next to them, literally. So, like, all those survival reactions, all these reactions that are happening inside our bodies every day, you know, whatever they may be, the shopping list is too big for the money, the house payment, the picking up the phone and making a call, whatever those stresses and anxieties are, that's the same stuff that I was dealing with almost 30 years ago now.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was doing it in an extreme environment, right?
Yeah, I'd say.
The next step is pretty fast forward. I'm going to go really fast through it. It's really short. Basically, companies like Intel, including Intel. I worked in the semiconductor manufacturing world. And the semiconductor manufacturing world is a world where, again, engineers and technicians and managers have to make million-dollar decisions in the heat of the moment. So, again, my primary role through all that was as an adult trainer. And then the pieces that really started to put it together, though, were when I got out of the brain. Like I'm teaching people technical skills and technical expertise through all that. But when I got to the point where I was teaching people how to ride a snowboard or how to ride a motorcycle, that's when it became a very physical, real thing. Because, for example, on a motorcycle, one reaction, one little moment when your body does something that you didn't plan on it doing, one, and you can die.
Yes, I'm aware. Every man in my family rides a motorcycle.
Awesome. I'm great. I'm thankful to be connected to you. There's all kinds of topics we could go down there right there. I could spend the next 3 days talking about motorcycles and all this stuff. Right,
I know. I won't get into it. So okay. If we end up talking about Harley Sportsters, we're never going to stop.
I love it. Oh, awesome. So then basically the next steps are, the whole time that I was doing all that stuff, I tried to start a business. I was trying to do different things because I never really fit in a system. I always felt like I didn't belong, and it was the system against me kind of thing. And I didn't fit. So I was always trying, but I never could actually get to the point where I was owning, where I was a business owner, where I was making my living being the guy making the decisions about, you know, what time I'm going to meet Asmae for this podcast or whatever, right? So then I had a couple breakthroughs. I got connected with an online class teaching me how to build software as a service. Now, it turns out I did that. I built a little app and I tried to sell it, but it just wasn't my thing. But that class was a very pivotal point for a lot of people. Everybody that's, I don't want to say everybody, but a lot of the people that join it, it's a very pivotal time in their life, and major changes typically happen. I just finished interviewing someone, for example, that also participated in that class, but he and his wife did not build a software company. They built an online course, and they've made over $1 million now from it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's like that. And that class played a key part of that, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They didn't. I don't think it actually taught them how to do the course. I could be wrong, but I don't think it did. But yeah. And so then, I'm sorry. The other pivotal moment that really brought things together was when this little incident happened. And since your family rides motorcycles, you'll understand the significance of this. I hit a deer going 85 miles an hour on a motorcycle.
Oh my gosh.
And I did not crash.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
How did you not crash? I mean, gosh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. So it's like, that question, that's what freaked me out. Like, we don't have the time for me to tell the whole story now. The whole story is out there on other interviews, and I'll be happy to share it with, you know, anybody that wants to hear it. But the point of the story is that question. How did that not happen? And the answer to that is I was in a state of flow. And the way that my brain was physically operating when that happened is what enabled me to do the one thing that I teach, the first thing I teach people to do now. Think, do not react. Think, do not react. So
that sounds like it's actually been a very powerful thing to be keeping in mind. So I mean, obviously this has really helped you.
This has helped anybody that has ever need help. This has helped. This is this concept. So I've been an adult trainer for over 25 years, almost 30, like I said, and I'm, that makes me like, for example, part of that motorcycle crash, non-crash story, I can literally explain to you what's happening between the rubber and the road at a subatomic level. So I have to, for me to operate and be effective at that operation, I really have to understand at a deep level. And then I can kill it. Then I can do amazing things. Then I can teach other nuclear reactor operators and hit deers going 85 miles an hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I say what I'm about to say, when I say what I just said, that thinking and not reacting, that is truly the core of everything, because understanding when we're reacting is so hard. And please, I'm not one of these guys that's sitting on a freaking mountaintop in Tibet. I know that my body reacts still. I know that every day, like for example, right now, my body is reacting to the fact that I'm doing a podcast with you. Does that make sense?
It does.
Right? So it's not necessarily never react. It's just think. And then pick if you want to react, maybe. Think. Don't react. Don't just react first is my premise, I guess.
But that sounds like something that's very difficult for people to do. It sounds like I'm just looking back at things that I've done in my life, and it seems like reaction is the natural first step to anything. So how do you stop reacting?
Wow, how much time do we have?
Probably not enough.
Like, yeah, I'm like seriously sitting here looking at my clock going, well, step number one is awareness. Step number one is you have to be aware when it's happening. Some of my favorite examples of that, a sneeze. When you inhale or you're walking down the street and a little, the right size of the right particle of the right thing hits the right spot in your sinuses, you sneeze. That's a reaction. Right?
Mm-hmm.
How about a gnat? Have you ever been walking down the street and all of a sudden one of those little flies, a little itty bitty bug gets in your eye?
Yes.
Yeah. And you've got to blink. You immediately close your eye mm-hmm. and circle, right? So that blink, that's a reaction. My favorite example though is like the spider web. You know the videos on YouTube of people walking in the spider webs?
Oh yes. And you know, admittedly I do the same thing. My basement is like home to spiders for some reason. And I'll go down with a basket of laundry and where there was no spider web yesterday, there is now a spider web. And I drop the basket and like start batting at my face, and it's really, really embarrassing. Thank God this has not been captured on video. But yes.
Set up a camera. Set up a camera, make it go viral. So that's my favorite one because it's hilarious, right? It's like funny to watch that reaction. But those are those are what I use as examples of reactions. So people understand what we're talking about. Now, you've felt that tickle in your nose and known a sneeze is coming before it gets there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's just, bam, you sneeze. Well, awareness is that ability to feel the sneeze before it comes. And practicing that awareness helps you become more and more thoughtful instead of reactive. So now let's take it to a real world example. Me and my girlfriend talking about the bank account, talking about whose turn it is to do the dishes, who needs to fold the clothes or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one example. Another example is you're sitting there getting ready to make a phone call, a sales call to your new client or to a cold client, right? Or you're getting ready to take action towards your goal or your dream or something like that. Things are happening in your body when during those times. Let's go back to the arguing with your spouse example. Is that a good example?
Yeah, I think that's something most people can understand.
Okay, awesome. So there's a point where you're sitting there talking about the checkbook and the bank account and things. And maybe a better one would be the dishes. But the point is you're sitting there and you're discussing a topic logically and calm. Like, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's this point in that conversation where it kind of becomes emotional. And if you're not practiced at it, really quickly, it can escalate into you're fat and dumb and you're slothful and ignorant and you're annoying and, you know, name calling and
yes.
Defensive behavior, right? Well, that little scale kind of that we just talked about there, that's if you're aware when something triggers you and you're aware of your internal state and you can sense that you want to call somebody fat and dumb, you know, and I'm please notice I'm not saying her or him in this case. It can go both ways, right?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Right? So you become aware, and this is a grossly oversimplified example, but you become aware of it. And that way you can stop and actually say, well, wait a second, what do I really want out of this? And you can take actions internally and for yourself so that you can get what you want instead of a fight, because nobody wants the fight, right?
Well, hopefully.
We want the checkbook balanced, or we want the dishes washed.
Yes, yes.
We want a happy life. We want, you know, yeah. So that's, I'm not sure where we started with that. I apologize. So there's the real world application. Step one is awareness. Yeah.
Interesting. Now, I think that might be the hardest part. That involves, you know, slowing down and paying closer attention and being more mindful of what's going on with you.
Not everybody
wants to do that because it kind of sucks sometimes.
What sucks about it?
Well, I recently come to the realization that I am not as patient as I would like to be. And that realization was not a very pleasant one. And the moment in which I realized this, I was rather upset with myself when I finally figured out what was going on. And having those feelings of, oh, well, I don't like myself very much right now, I don't think is anything that someone wants to go through. And I think if people fear that that might happen, there might be a little bit of a resistance to this cultivating of awareness.
Well, Asmae, that feeling that you had, I don't like myself right now, that feeling in itself was a reaction.
Yeah, and I get that.
Right? So that was your subconscious trying to get you to not like this process so that you don't grow. Did that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. This is pretty deep. We're getting deep. We went deep pretty quick here. Yeah.
Thank you for humoring me.
No, it's a perfect example. It's perfect. It's beautiful. It's that is kind of the point, though. You know, do you want? We feel when you sensed that you're not as patient as you would like to be. There was a feeling in you. Now, if we just stop right there. Like, don't progress past just that initial feeling. That initial feeling is there so that you take action to learn more patience, to get the benefit of more patience.
Yeah, I can see that.
So just stop right there. You know how this whole discussion around enjoy the journey, the goal isn't the reward. The journey is the reward.
Mm-hmm.
We just went there. You've got to love that. Ooh, this is uncomfortable. And because when you, that feeling in your body is literally the gift that is giving you your progression, your next step, whatever that, better relationship, more money, bigger house, whatever your ultimate goal is, that little bit of discomfort, that's a blessing. That's the thing giving you that, okay, I'm not happy rushing. For example, in your case, whatever your lack of patience caused to happen, right? You weren't happy with that result. You didn't feel good about that result. That's what prompts you to become. Does that make sense? Do you see that circle?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm just trying to actually. I can't even remember now what triggered that event. I just remember being really unhappy with myself for feeling so impatient.
Totally that. So here's one of the things that I help people with primarily. It's like you being unhappy with yourself, you must do everything. You must become more and more and more and more and more aware of that when that happens. And set up practices or habits or triggers such that when that happens, you stop and you think. Because that's your choice. That's the time when you say, okay, that didn't feel good. What do I really want this to be like? What do I need to learn? What do I need to develop more of? Who do I need to help? Who can I ask help of? Or just what do I need to do? In those moments, we're kind of like going around how I normally teach this stuff, but your magic power, your antidote, the most powerful thing that you can do as a matter of fact, I don't even think I was planning on talking about this. As soon as you think about it, as soon as you realize that I'm not happy with myself, or I don't like this situation, or I have anxiety when I look at my checkbook, or I have anxiety when I look at my gym bag. As soon as you feel that anxiety, start breathing deep. Deep breathing literally forces your brain to release the antidote chemicals to the parts of your brain that are releasing the anxiety chemicals. And that's what gives you the ability in that moment. Because if you've got anxiety, this stuff was designed to protect us. Our brains and this reaction that we're talking about, it was designed to help us in case a freaking saber-toothed tiger busts through the door.
Yeah.
In that case, we need this stuff, right? You need it. But even now, here's the weird part. So there's a saber-toothed tiger busting through the door, right? And it's a completely wild, uncontrolled beast whose job it is to devour you. Adrenaline hits your system. Heart rate goes up. All your blood vessels open up. Your pupils dilate. All these things happen in your body to protect you, right? Here's the weird part. When that deer and I interacted on that road, none of that happened to me. Because I was operating in a state of flow, and I was able to clearly think and not react. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I want to throw out my three habits real quick, if I could.
Oh, yeah, please go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm digesting all of it.
I know. You go ahead and digest that. Don't worry about what I'm about to say. It's all good. I'm just going to tell everybody how to develop this ability. Important thing that you can do today to start further enhancing and developing these abilities. It's literally superhuman abilities. And I can point toward a book called The Rise of Superman that explains how all this is happening. But the three habits that you have kids, diet. If you're a smoker and you want to stop smoking, there's nothing that I can give you that is more powerful than what I'm about to tell you. The bad news is you've heard it a million times. I guarantee you've heard it a million times. And you've blown it off because you don't see how important it is. You've got to understand how, and that's the point of me talking about nuclear power, subatomic physics. Now we're going to go a little woo-woo. It's not even that far woo-woo. Trust me. Oh my gosh, that rabbit hole's deep. It's not that far
woo-woo. Yeah, and we go a little woo-woo on this podcast. It's okay.
Good. But this is vital. You have to start meditating. You have to. And if you already meditate, awesome. What can you do to develop it? What other practices can you develop? What other genres of meditation can you study? Just keep growing that habit from today for the rest of your life. There is not a single thing. If I wrote you a check for $10 million right now, Esme, it wouldn't be as valuable as what I just said. There is nothing more important than meditation. Meditate every day.
Meditation is a big part of what I do in my yoga practice. And when I work one-on-one with clients, we start with a little meditation. And we tend to wrap up with a little meditation, and because I don't want my clients to just go off into the world, I want them to meditate on what it is that they're going to then go implement in their business. So I am there with you. I am on board with meditation. And now that being said, I haven't really explored that many different styles of meditation. But yes, I agree. It is very important.
No, I disagree with that statement. You said very important. Based on my research and studies and based on what I've learned and what I've seen to this point in my life, there is nothing more important. Now, some Christians or some religions may believe that their relationship with God is more important. Okay, I'm down. I can see that being arguably more important. But meditating will help you develop that relationship deeper.
I see what you're saying.
I can't, if you can point something out. Now, the one example, the one place where I can say, okay, now is not the right time to meditate. I was going to say driving, but that's not even true. I meditate when I drive. It's just what type of meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one time that in your life when it's not the right thing to do, is if your life is physically in danger. Like if that saber-toothed tiger burst into the room right now, I wouldn't drop down and start meditating. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the one time you're in a burning building. Get out of the building, then meditate about it.
Yes. And did you see the study that came out about 2 years ago it's about how the brain of people who meditate has a more developed default mode network than those who don't?
That's what we're talking about. Yes, ma'am.
Excellent.
Here's the thing that has recently blown me away. Have you seen the study about the paraplegics using virtual reality?
No, I haven't, but I have that sitting in my email. Someone sent it to me and I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Check this out. And you may not connect it the way that I connected it. Most people don't. Like they're like, yeah, I've seen that. And then I'm like, well, do you understand what that means? Do you remember in the U.S. back up until the 70s, there was these traveling revival preachers that would go around, and some of them were healers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Where they would get people, like, they would heal people, and, oh my goodness, I don't need my crutches anymore.
Yeah.
And then some of them were proven as frauds, right?
Yep.
Well, that's what's happening. They are making, they have literally taken a paraplegic, and that person can walk now.
That's amazing.
It's Jesus level stuff, and it's all because of the brain. The visual, the virtual reality, and how impactful your visual perception is in the brain. If you read through this article, and they're out there, if you just Google paraplegic and virtual reality study, it was national news a couple months ago, about a year and a half long study. They weren't trying to heal people. They were trying to make it so that a paraplegic, like have you seen the guys that have lost arms in Iraq or whatever at war, and they put a robotic arm on them, and they can control it with their brain? They can.
Yes, that blows my mind.
So they were trying to do that with robotics for legs.
Oh.
That's what they were trying to do, but all of a sudden, the paraplegics started getting feeling back in their legs and were able to move them.
Wow, that's incredible.
It's just meditate. If I said nothing but that word for the rest of my life, I'd be happy.
And you have three habits that you wanted to share. What are the other two?
I'm all wound up now.
Oh, sorry. We can keep going about meditation if you want.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Because the other two, again, you've heard these a million times. My research, the work that I've done over the last 3 or 4 years since I hit that deer, as to answer your question about how. And again, remember, nuclear reactor operator, subatomic physics, I go deep, synaptic level. Like, I need to understand how this works. Once I figure it out, I'm like a preacher on the mountaintop, dude. Let me tell you about it. All right. So these habits have been taught forever, right? These habits have been told over and over and over. And the problem is people aren't doing them. If people would just do these, never mind working on your funnel or developing your unique selling proposition or finding the right client or all the relationship advice between you and your husband, you know, the five love languages, all that stuff is like icing on the cake. If you do these three habits, everything else works. I don't care what you want to do. Meditate is number one. Number two is journal. Now, I'd love to explain and give you a quick, easy example. How are we doing on time? Of why journaling is so powerful.
We've got time if you want to go into it. So we've got 30 minutes left in our allotted time, but we can wrap up as quickly as you want, or take the full 30 minutes.
It's really simple. It's not going to take 30 minutes. That's for sure.
Okay.
Just here it comes really quick. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, just hang on a second. Stop. Close your eyes. Picture in your brain, I don't know, what do we want to do? How about a pink and purple polka dot elephant?
Got it.
Picture it. Now actually say it. Pink and purple dot elephant.
Okay, pink and purple dot elephant.
Okay, now, cool. Now take out a pen and paper and write it. Pink and purple polka dot elephant.
Okay.
Let's talk numbers. How much brain, or maybe we can just go really qualitative here instead of quantitative. Brain energy. How much brain energy did it take to think that, to say that, and then and write it? Like, compare those three. To think it took some energy.
Mm-hmm.
To think it and then move your mouth took some energy. But to think it, to cause your arm and your hand and your wrist and your fingers to all move in just the right way to actually write it, and then the feedback loop that has to be there through your eyes. Remember a few minutes ago, we were talking about virtual reality. Our eyes are really important. The feedback loop, including the eyes and all the processing power that goes in your eyes and with visual, with in process, in regards to our visual processing. What you wrote impacts your brain at least 100 times, if not more, like 10,000 times more effectively or more impact on your brain than what you said.
Interesting.
So saying your affirmations, props, mm-hmm. Good job. Saying what you want out loud, props. Writing it, oh yeah. It does so much magic, and it does more magic than we do have time to get into. Just think about firing off as many synapses as you can, thinking about what you want to think about. That's the purpose of journaling. Let me rephrase that. I misspoke. That is the biggest purpose of journaling.
Got it.
There's so many more, right?
Is there a time that you find is more effective, the time of day? I know there's a lot of people who are proponents of morning journaling, which I have a hard time getting into since I'm not a morning person, but I do start my day with journaling whenever my day starts. But have you found there's a time that is more effective for, you know, making all of those connections?
Okay. Now there's, okay. Those little, yeah, sorry. Sorry. That's me. There's a lot of questions there. Let's start here. Let's start with the person that's currently not journaling. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For that person, you do whatever you got to do to set aside 2 to 5 minutes where you're putting pen to paper about anything it takes to start that habit. So no, for that person, I don't care what time of day, I don't care if you're sitting on the toilet, at the dinner table, laying in bed, I don't care, at the office, doesn't matter. Do whatever you got to do to start the habit and then develop it. Then we get into what you just asked, Yasme, about the, you know, you actually asked a couple different questions there. One was, you're not a morning person. Does it matter what time I journal? My immediate answer was no. Do whatever it takes to get pen to paper to work on your process. And depending on what process. Now, the next level is what process we're talking about. You then took it to like what how I was talking about using journaling, which was actually burning things into your brain or programming, rewiring your brain or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, as early in the morning as you can is better.
Okay. Got it.
And last thing at night is better.
That makes sense. And when I at least write a to-do list right before I go to bed, I seem to have more focus on those items the next day.
That brings us to, what are you writing down at night?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, there are some people that can get away with what you just said. Writing, like thinking about tomorrow and kind of planning their day out tomorrow. There's some people that works awesome for. Majority of people, I'm going to say, in my experience, that's not such a good thing to think about right as you're going to bed. Now, at the end of the workday, that's where most people do that. Now, and these words that I'm using, most people, the majority of people, here's what to do. Test it for yourself. Test what works better for yourself. And when we're talking about this kind of stuff, it's like a couple weeks. You got to do one thing for a couple weeks and then do something different for a couple weeks and decide then which one's better. Some people, it's a couple months as well. Do it for a couple months and then switch and test. It all depends on the person. It's a very, very personalized thing here.
Mm-hmm. I get now, that.
Yeah. Then there's all kinds of different. So when someone hears, it's kind of like meditation, when somebody hears meditation or when somebody hears journaling, a lot of different things pop into a lot of different people's minds. For example, you went with a to-do list. There's a lot of awesome quote-unquote journaling stuff out there. There's software that you can type into your phone. Okay, so just so we're clear, no. I do not recommend calling those things journaling, because you're losing the effectiveness of what I described earlier. Those things, my computer screen, my calendar, my Franklin Covey planner, if you use those guys, or there's this new product out there called the Best Self Journal that you may have heard of, or if you're into John Lee Dumas, an entrepreneur on fire, he's got the Freedom Journal. So they've taken what I'm talking about as far as the mind shaping stuff and that, and they've kind of tried to tie a productivity system on top of it. For some people, that's awesome. Okay, but the point is there's a whole lot of different things that people can call journaling out there, or meditation for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where was I going? Okay, so the last thing at night that brings up the third habit. The number one thing that you can meditate about and the number one thing that you can journal about is gratitude.
I love that.
I can explain why, but before I explain why gratitude, what is gratitude and what do I mean by that? So like, Asmi, if I asked you right now, what are you grateful for? Go.
My health. That's a big one. Actually, I have some health problems. So the fact that I have any health at all, I'm very, very grateful for. I'm grateful for being able to think clearly most of the time, unless I've got some brain fog thing going on. I'm thankful for my family, that I've got a roof over my head. I always have food to eat. I have a business that I love.
Okay. So let me interrupt you for a second real quick. That was a cool list. That was a gratitude list, right? And I'm not beating up on your list or anybody else's list in particular. And actually, those were awesome things, because now you could take that list and you could pick one of those things and you could spend 10 minutes writing about how thankful you are for your health. You could spend 10 minutes feeling that gratitude.
Mm.
Like, I'm going to put it this way. If you're not tearing up a little bit when you're doing this practice, you're not doing it right.
I like that.
And I'm talking to the guys too. Like if you're not, what I just described, feeling that gratitude to that depth and that level, that has been proven scientifically to rewire your brain more effectively than anything else in the direction that I'm guessing the majority of your audience wants to rewire their brain. If they want to go to war and be the baddest ass freaking Terminator out there, that's not what you think about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not so much.
You with me on that?
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah. But by having that deep feeling gratitude, that is more powerful than writing. Remember a few minutes ago, mm-hmm. we were talking about writing and how much mental energy and how much impact it's having on your brain?
Yes.
That gratitude is hitting your brain at that level. Now, and the things that jump to my mind when I think about that are like, you know, you watch TV for half an hour. An hour long TV show, you're going to be caught up in, or God help you if you watch the news.
Yeah.
You're going to be caught up in so much drama, so much horror, so much crap that you got to balance that out with at least a half hour of meditation about gratitude. And unfortunately, the way our brains are designed goes back to that saber-toothed tiger and back to the caveman days. The way our brains are designed, we are at birth, we are 8 times more likely to be focused on that negative potential outcome than the positive.
Oh, wow.
At least at birth. Now you throw 30, 40, 50 years of watching the news on top of that.
Wow.
And
well, no wonder.
You get our current political situation.
Oh, that's a very heavy thought.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, by all means.
Was it supposed to be a lighthearted? I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I'm thinking about so many people that I know, and I'm thinking about, you know, the fact that I know a lot of people who are inherently very negative. And I'm thinking, you know what? It may not be entirely the way their brain was born. Just maybe the things that they've been exposed to has been helping to perpetuate that.
I just had an amazing conversation with a man that is teaching adults how to relate to and understand and help their children. And it blew me away. He started the conversation like this. He's like, when he gets in that environment where he's teaching this, he says, the first question, what are the values that your kids need to grow into successful contributing members of society? Think about that. What do you think? What are the values your kids need to grow into? Or another way is, what is a valuable contributing member of society? What values what are they using?
Well, kindness, I would hope.
Sorry, what was that?
Kindness, I would hope.
Okay.
And the ability to see the best in others.
Awesome.
I know it's difficult. And it can be really difficult depending on the types of people you surround yourself with.
Totally. So here's the trick, Asmé. It really doesn't matter what you say. Like, think about it. Kindness, yes. I like the word empathy for what you kind of just said, ability to see the positive in other people, and you're empathetic, you know, and we could just make this list forever and ever and ever, but here's the question. What at birth, or for a 1-year-old maybe, which one of those do they not have? We come with everything we need. We are brought onto this planet with everything we need. And then it gets taken away slowly, in my opinion. That's what I see happening out there. So everybody you know that's maybe selfish or maybe always negative, at their core, and that's where I go. I'm a deep core guy. And I've never met anyone that at their core isn't the most radiant being I've ever met. Now, the way they express it, that's a different topic.
Yeah, so. For sure. Wow. That's so interesting to think about that.
I love thinking about that. I love working in that area. I'm so thankful that my life is doing this now.
And how long did it take for you to get to this particular part of your practice?
27 years.
Wow.
Roughly.
Look, it's been a while in the making.
25, somewhere around there. I mean, but the funny part is, I know that, you know, when I was in my early 20s, when I was helping those kids deal with their fears about going underwater on a submarine. And, you know, I'm helping them. I know that I had this gift back then. Looking back, I was the best at what I did back then because I was helping people at this level that I'm helping people now. But it was about, you know, nuclear power or whatever. Or it was about this, you know, understanding how to troubleshoot this machine. But what I was really doing was getting them to get their brain out of their way and allow their brain to get them out of their brain's way, if that makes sense, which is what the flow is, by the way. Yeah.
So I want to make sure before we wrap up here, because I just looked at the clock. So where can people get more information about you and what you're doing?
I'm, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Snapchat, as a matter of fact. Now, my website, I'm very proud of my website name. You know, when you send out your thing, your questions to your friends to say, what's the one thing about me? My one thing is my enthusiasm. So, and I like to live enthusiastically. So if you misspell enthusiastically and you stick my name at the end, which is Clay. So enthusiasticclay.com.
I like that.
So that would be one place that you can find more about me, and you can get in touch with me on the contact page there. I've got a blog that's all about enthusing you, watching motivational videos and stuff like that. Yeah, there's a lot of ways. I'm a full-time high-performance coach. So, again, I help people get themselves out of their way and so that they can perform at new levels. I'm certified through Brendon Burchard's High Performance Institute. And I just spent a weekend with him. And guys, there's very few people on the planet that have taken it as seriously as he, as far as helping people perform at a high level. And it's incredible what he's learning right now. He's doing some major research and he's getting ready to publish some stuff that is going to change the way we approach what we do. Everything from the CEO to the junior high school student. It's just going to change everything. It has the potential to change everything, and he's pretty good, so it's probably going to impact that many people.
I'm excited.
You should be, because that's my job. I enthuse people. Let's see. So yeah, my website, find me on Facebook, Clay Green. Or again, Enthusiastic Clay is my username on Facebook. I don't use Twitter very much, but it's there. Snapchat, like Snapchat, and Instagram, all across the usernames the same.
Awesome.
Enthusiastic Clay.
Awesome. Well, I will definitely link up to all of that in the show notes.
Awesome.
And is there a favorite resource that you have for meditation, since that's such a powerful component of what it is that you do?
So the place I'd like to point people is to my website, I guess. And on the right hand side, you'll see an opt-in where you can opt in to learn the 3 habits.
Awesome. And
that's a place where I've got resources for all those things. Real quick, if you don't want to do that, what I'm finding is the most popular among all the people that I've worked with. Now, this is not a one-shot solution. You may like this, you may not like this. And that's okay. It doesn't mean you failed at meditation if you don't like what I'm about to say. It means use Google. Find something else. But Headspace is a very popular app. Yeah. Just people stuff. There's another one called Amvana. I'm going to spell that phonetically. I always do it. It's Amvana, which is Oscar Mike Victor Alpha November Alpha. Omvana, Omvana. That's another, I personally like that one a lot. I use that a lot.
Awesome. Well, I will share those in the show notes as well. So I love the Headspace app. I've had that for some years now. So, and he did a really interesting TED talk about meditation that I will link up to in the show notes too, just because I think it might help drive this point home for some of the listeners. Awesome. So thank you so much for joining me. This has been fabulous.
I've enjoyed this, Esme. I really appreciate it. Thank you. And I look forward to connecting to as many people. And my whole point, my purpose in life, I've realized in the last, I guess, year and a half or two, you asked that, how long was your journey, right? Well, that length of that journey, I've had a great life. I don't want to complain about a minute of it, right? But the length of that journey is what's motivating me to try to help other people shorten their journey as much as possible.
I think that's a good mission.
That's it.
Oh, fabulous. So thank you so much. And everybody listening, go get the show notes where you can get links to everything that Clay is doing and also the Headspace and Omvana app. So thank you again for joining me. This has been fabulous. I have like 3 pages of notes here.
Awesome. Mission accomplished.
Yeah. So great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.